So we'll be concluding our study this morning in the book of Ecclesiastes, and mentioned several times since we started the class back in December, really have enjoyed the study. Hopefully it's been something that's been beneficial. I know that obviously just on the surface reading the book of Ecclesiastes, I think can be very powerful. It can be very useful in our daily lives. It can be useful just in the grand scheme of things as we go throughout our life. And maybe if you're going through certain things, whether it be profitable or challenging, that Ecclesiastes can be very useful in that. It can also be one that can be taken out of context. It can be one that can be summarized just by using the word vanity and maybe glossed over a lot of other things in the book, which hopefully you've gotten from it. I know I've gotten from it some very powerful lessons that's not just vanity of vanity, all is vanities. But we will get to that as we finally have gotten to chapter 12. I say finally, we're in first four of chapter 11, so I've got some work to do this morning. But look forward to, I'm not sure, what are we studying starting in the month of March?
Luke,
okay. Are you doing that, or?
Yeah.
Willie, all right. Well, Willie's been pulling big duty now. I did not realize when I asked Willie, I should have started this with thanking him for last week. I didn't realize that he had done the last two Wednesdays as well. So he is very well prepared for Luke, and appreciate him covering my class, covering Andrew's as well, and looking forward to the Luke study starting next week. So if we can get a reader, if I can get a reader for verse 4 through 10, Willie left off after verse 3 of chapter 11. So we'll start in verse 4. If I can get someone to read 4 through the end of the chapter of 11, then we'll cover 12. Chuck, if you'll read 4 through 10 of chapter 11, please, sir. So as we take this section, and I'll mention taking it as a whole, obviously there's different things that jump out. Starting in verse 4, it's the last part of that section there that is similar to chapter 10 in that it's written almost like a proverb. We understand that Solomon, as we'll see in chapter 12, he even says that Solomon gave the Proverbs. He did many of those Proverbs. And of course, we see that in chapter 10, and it really goes into chapter 11 as well. The last part of that section there, which is what we started with, verse 4, talks about he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. You know, one thing that I take away from this, not sure how you, and I think some of these things can be decently interpretive. We'll see in chapter 12, especially some things that you may take one thing as far as analogy is away from that, and maybe I see something else as far as, again, the analogies are concerned. But in this case, what seems likely is that if you spend too much time on observation, and in this case, observing the wind, if you look at it as you're one that's literally trying to sow and then reap the crop, if you will, reap what you have sown. If you take too much time observing things, okay, what's the wind doing? What are the clouds? In this case, the clouds, what I would get from that is weather. Okay, what's the weather doing? What's the wind doing? If you're looking at all these signs, it's got to be the right time. The wind's a little bit out of the north-northwest at 5 miles an hour. I need it out of the south-southwest. Obviously, I'm just making that up. It's just not right. Yeah, there's partial cloud cover. We need this. We need that. If we become too observatory and get too analytical on things, then and just finding the exact right time, then are you going to be able to ultimately reap and then sow and then reap what you sow? No, because if you just get too wrapped up in things and it's just got to be the right time, then that time might pass you by and you may not be able to do what you need to do. And I phrase it that way for a reason, because that should be really applicable to us as Christians. And as we go through our lives, it's just, it's got to be just like this, or it's just not the right time. Could you apply that to becoming a Christian? Obviously, that's a rhetorical question, right? And I know in many, many cases where we talk about for a reason, oftentimes when we give the invitation, not a better time than right now. The Bible is clear that we never know when our time is going to come. And, you know, we use that oftentimes when we talk about giving the invitation. And I think especially here, I can take away from that is if you're looking at one that is yet to become a Christian, that if you're just waiting for that right time, and I'm just waiting for when the time is right, and I know what I need to do, but I'm just waiting, well, sometimes that time might come and go and pass you by. Yes, sir? Different things through our life, and that's obviously here, there wouldn't have been talking about Christianity and becoming a Christian, more applicable to life cycles and things that you're going through and you're dead on. I mean, and obviously we can apply that to our lives today, just wait for the right time to do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, reality is that life comes at us. It throws us different things. And again, that's really where it applies to what we're talking about here in Ecclesiastes is if you wait, because we go back to comments were made by Solomon earlier, where it's like, enjoy now, enjoy life. And again, we talk about the context being under God and serving God. And if you're just always looking for the right circumstance here, chances are that that may not come your way. The rest of the chapter then switches to Solomon talking about, as you do not know the way the spirit comes into the bones, the wombs of a woman with the child, so you don't know the work of God who makes everything. And really this harkens back to a couple of other chapters where it talks about who can make straight, what God has made crooked, understanding God. In fact, it goes back earlier in the chapter, earlier in the book. Solomon said that, consider the work of God, who can make straight what he has made crooked, in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 17. Then I saw the work of God, that man cannot find the work that is done under the sun. How much man may toil in seeking, he will not find out. Even though a wise man claims to know, he cannot find it out. And it's really, again, another mentioning of ultimately not being able to comprehend or know everything here. So you do not know the work of God. And I guess in a 2020 way of phrasing it, is we just don't have all the answers. I mean, that's kind of a basic way to look at it, but we don't have all the answers. We're not going to have all the answers. I can read this a billion times and I will not have all the answers, because simply God made everything. God is the only one that can understand everything that was and everything that is to come. But there's a big but at the end of that. That doesn't mean that I'm not to be what? What does Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 say? What's the very first word in Matthew 6:33? I think I got that verse right. Seek, right? So, yes, it is complex. Yes, we will not have all the answers, but we are to seek. Because if we are not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then will we be able to find it? No, we won't. And again, these are some rhetorical questions here. But I think it's very powerful. Just because we don't know everything and don't know all the answers doesn't mean that we're not supposed to be seeking those answers. Again, we go back with the sowing in the evening. In this case, it's talking about, okay, what you're doing in the morning doesn't mean that you have to withhold that from your hand in the evening. And really what this is talking about is this goes back to an enjoyment, a healthy enjoyment, but an enjoyment of what you are toiling, what you're doing. That doesn't mean that then you just can't enjoy or have enjoyment with what you are sowing, and that you can't prosper. It says both will be alike and will be good. Again, this goes back to earlier parts in Ecclesiastes, which is what we've already read, Ecclesiastes 7 and 18. It is good that you should take hold of this, and from that withhold not your hand. And again, that ties directly back to verse 6. Verse 7, light is sweet and is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. And again, this idea of enjoyment, what I take from this, and it's mentioned several times, this word of light and pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. That phrase, to see the sun, is mentioned several times in Ecclesiastes. And it's not just taking enjoyment from this life, but also that when you're out and you're toiling out in the sun and you're working, that also you are seeing the sun, if that makes sense. And not just enjoyment, of course, but working and then reaping those benefits, if you will. The last three verses starts to turn the page a little bit and set the table for verse 12. What it will do, and we go right into chapter 12, oftentimes there's a break. Obviously, there's a break between 11 and 12, but really here it all goes together, starting in verse 8 all the way through the end of the chapter of chapter 12 and the end of the book, which is we're going between, it's a contrast between what and what, or whom and whom, as far as the stage in life. Young and old, okay? So in verse 8, it starts about, so if a person lives many years, let them rejoice in it all. But remember, the days of darkness will be many, and all that comes is vanity. And again, that could be rephrased as vapor, or many other words there, is just fleeting. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and it continues on as far as, let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. And then it says, remove the vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. When we're setting the table here and talking about living many years, rejoice, but there's always a but there, or a remember. In this case, it talks about enjoying those lives, but remember that what? It says the days of darkness will be many in verse 8. What I would take away from this, and we're going to talk more about this in chapter 12, is these days of darkness, some people interpreted that as just simply the light is in your youth and the days of darkness is as you get older. And there will be a contrast there between youth and getting older. But also I think what can come with this is challenges. And we'll mention that again, is that as you live longer in this life, are you going to have more things thrown your way or less? When you're 5 years old, have you had more darkness and challenging times and temptations thrown your way than when you're 50? Well, of course not. As you live your life, as I live my life on this earth, we have more challenging things thrown our way than we were when we were babies or when we were in elementary school, middle school, high school. Those things start to compound themselves. That's just living life. Things happen during our life. And I think that some of it here is these days of darkness will be many, or at least they will be more frequent than they are earlier in your life. Yes, sir. And I think that we can read Ecclesiastes when we're younger and get certain things from it. And to your point, as we read Ecclesiastes as we get older, I would think we might take not necessarily more away from it, but different things. And we can point to things and say, yep, I can understand that at this point in my life, I've had more thrown my way and more darker days and challenges. And again, I think darkness is relative here, that it's probably going more towards experiences and challenges and tribulations. We understand that those happen more frequent the older we get, or at least we experience more of those as we get to a certain point in life than we did earlier. But I like your point here that as we start to read this and we can understand and gather more things, and maybe hopefully we have a better understanding of what we're reading, to your point, as we get older than we do. But again, I think that if we studied Ecclesiastes if we studied it in a teenage class and taught it to teenagers, I think that it could be super useful as well. And there's different things that you can point to and understand. Hey, you may not even have experienced this yet, but you're going to. Hey, you may not understand this fully, but you'll get there. At any point in our life, whether we're staying middle age, end of our life, beginning of our life, what is always important about what Solomon does in this is that there's always that teaching moment. And it's not just rejoice in the days of your youth and stop. Because that wouldn't gel with the rest of what we're talking about, right? What he says is number one, he always says, fear whom? Okay, we get to that in a second. Summarize the whole matter, right? Fear God and keep his commandments. And then it's not just that, but make sure no matter what you're doing, and if you're fearing God and you're doing that, when you're living your life as a youth or as you go throughout your life, remember, what does it say at the end of verse 9 to what Nicole just said? But know that for all these things, what? God will bring you into judgment. We can study that at any point in our life, and it should matter the same, whether we're 18 or 80, that no matter what we're doing, remember and having in our mind and in context, God will do that. And if you think that that wasn't necessarily important to Solomon, not only does he mention it several times, I'll jump ahead because we're going to get there here in a second. How does he end the entire book? Verse 14. Four of chapter 12, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. It mattered. It matters. It matters a lot. It's something that we always need to have with us, that no matter what we're doing here, whether our heart's cheering us in the days of our youth, we need to walk in the ways of our heart and the sight of our eyes, but understand that that guidance and that walk has to be with someone guiding our heart. Our heart has to be guided by someone or something. Okay, the something is this, is the Bible, and that someone is whom? God, okay? Walking with God, guiding our heart. And then in verse 10, we're not going to be young forever. It says, remove vexation from your heart, put away this pain from your body. What's interesting here is in some versions, or you may have in your Bible, that pain is actually changed to evil. Not necessarily the same thing, okay? Pain and evil. But I think where we're going with here is it talks about for youth and the dawn of life are vanity, is to understand that we're going to have... back to that point of darkness, that we're going to have things come our way more and more and more. And that this, the youth and that dawn of life, the beginning of our life, that is not lasting forever. In fact, that vanity word, vapor, that's where it's super applicable here. It's going to come and go just like that. So let's make sure that our heart is being guided in the right place and by the right frame of mind, and understanding that God needs to be guiding our heart and be our whole entire heart. And then also not to dwell on unnecessary not to dwell on something unnecessarily or excessively. Okay. And what I mean by that is simply when it talks about vexation, there are things that can tug on us. And if we fixate on them too much and we become focused on them too much, then it can do what? It can consume us. Okay. So these things, when you talk about someone is vexing or a vexation, I think we all understand what that means, is that it can just pull and pull and pull and can just wholly consume everything that we do, and it can keep us from doing what we need to do. So no matter what our stage in life, understand that we need to have the right heart, a clean heart, and that we need to be able to put these things away, put our focus on the things that matter and not on the things that don't matter. Now, before we read all of chapter 12, and we're in a decent spot here. We have a whole 20 minutes, so that's not bad. Any comments? I've talked a little bit more than normal. Any comments at the end of chapter 12 before we kind of, chapter 11, before we take chapter 12 as a whole? No, I think that's a great comment, and I appreciate the way that you took that because, to be honest, that's not something that I'd applied here as a parent, is this idea of letting, and you're exactly right, is understanding that there's a happy medium with everything, and you can just completely let go of the rope and throw it away. Just, let your child just do whatever they're going to do. And then at the same time, not only can you, I'll do away with the rope analogy because that's probably not a good one. You can be a helicopter parent, and that you can just at any stage in life, but especially as you get more to what you're talking about, the developmental years and getting into where you're going to be making some of those mistakes, and that child now is becoming a young adult and they're going to be getting out and living their life, that you can still be hovering so much that some of that development just can't simply happen or is not going to be as likely to happen. And again, understanding with all of this that there's a very happy medium in all of this. And that's a lot of what we're talking about in Ecclesiastes is a balance, okay? Because he says, not necessarily phrased this way, but enjoy it, enjoy your life, and then at the same time he says, don't enjoy it too much, make sure you're doing this. And all of that is a balance and understanding. I think that phrase happy medium is very applicable here. Any other comments on chapter 11? Yes, ma'am. You're good. Right. Well, that's why I did away with the rope analogy. Yeah.
So I like the rope analogy.
Yeah.
The problem with that is you want to hang.
That's right. Yeah. 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 But understanding, of course, that if you, that if you let the slack out too much, then they might just run away. Yeah. Right. And so I think did I cut you off or was that your?
I was just going to offer it.
The thing to take away on the youth aspect is it saying, as many comments have been made, to enjoy that. But also, again, there's always that but or that and. In this case, it is that in the dawn of life and you thinking, hey, the world is my oyster. It's time to live. I've got everything. Everything's within my grasp. Now I can kind of take what's mine, understanding that dawn of life. And I do agree with that dawn of life here probably isn't your two. Right? It's probably, okay, well, now I'm about to live my own life. And I really get this instance of probably one that's about to leave home, one that's getting to an age where they won't be with their parents anymore, understanding that is going to come and go just like that.
10-foot tall and bulletproof.
That's right. Make you feel 10-foot tall and bulletproof, but that's not the case, is it? Chapter 12. So we will take this as a whole because I've left a whole 15 minutes to finish off the class here. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few. And those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut. When the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of song are brought low, they are afraid also of what is high and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the cistern and the dust returns to the earth as it was and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote the words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So in chapter 12, this youth, this age of the youth or a youthful age is contrasted with that of old age. And when it starts, it talks about, hearkening back to what we just talked about in chapter 11, make sure to remember whom in the days of your youth. Doesn't just say you live your life. Remember whom? God, your creator, right? Not just live your life, not just, I'm going to do me. Remember your creator in the days of your youth, because those days are going to happen. These evil days, again, I think what we're talking about here is hardships, calamity, those years. There's a phrase here, the years draw near. Again, that's this idea of getting older, living more of your life. And you're going to start to say, hey, I have no pleasure in them. You're going to start to have harsher things come your way. So it, starting in verse 2, then there is the true contrast between young and old. Getting older, you might say here, and we're going to talk about several things between verse 2 and the end of verse 6. Starts with an analogy of weather, which is what? What kind of clouds? Rain clouds. That's sunny, right? No. In fact, I might entitle this thunderstorm clouds. That's really what I kind of see from this, because it talks about the moon and the stars are darkening, the skies are darkening, and the clouds are returning, and they're returning with rain. You can understand what it looks like. Yes, sir?
And when you get a little older, the arthritis comes with those clouds.
Yep.
So there's a depth to that.
Right? That's right. And I'm glad you said that, because I think that there's a reason. There's some of these phrases that we get to in verses 3 through 6 actually kind of talk to some of that, and we're going to get to things like, oh, that's why that analogy was used. And I think you're exactly right that with some of that, as you get older, you know, maybe it's arthritis. Maybe when it gets darker, as we're going to see in verse 4, easier or harder to see when it's darker, right? So I think some of that goes together. And again, this talks about life's coming at you more. You're getting older. The skies are darkening. Those rain clouds are gathering. When we take verses 3 through 6 as a whole, starting in verse 3, the keepers of the house, we got some what?
Shaking.
Some trembling, some shaking. Okay, we can understand where that might apply. Love the phrase in the middle of verse 3. The grinders cease because they are few. That's right. That's exact. I mean, and again, I don't think, when I said earlier that I might take it one way and you might, I think there's some that we can really understand what's being said here. Could you take some other things from this? Sure. I think most of us would guess, and I think it's probably applicable or a good guess, that here we're talking about those grinders being your teeth. And as you get older, they don't work as well. And maybe they become fewer. Especially in this day, they would have become a lot fewer. Maybe they're less few now for those of us with advanced dental technology. But the fact of the matter is that is part of becoming older. The windows are dim. Those looking through the windows are dim. What are we talking about? Eyesight. All right. Verse 4. The doors on the street are shut. The sound of the grinding is low. I might take from this, again, just a guess. Your hearing's not as good. You can't hear as well, but you can't hear as well. The teeth aren't working as well. You might not be able to see as well. But what happens? Just at the sound of a bird, what? You wake up again. I like the way that this is phrased. And this is where we get to the. You might understand this, son or daughter, as you get a little bit older. Okay, and you may be looking at me like, "What do you know?" trust me, I'm already feeling some of these things. Worked in radio NASCAR for a long time. The hearing thing may happen sooner rather than later. Okay? So this idea is as we get older, some of these things happen, right? The one rises up at the sound of a bird, drop of a hat. I know that's already happening to me. It's probably happening to a lot of you, all right? Some of us aren't blessed like my wife of being able to sleep through anything, right? This idea of waking up at the sound of a bird, all right? They're afraid of what is high. Terrors are in the way. Maybe simply what it might look like on the surface. Start to be afraid of heights, becoming a little bit more worried in general. Perhaps the terrors are seeing things. Okay, this may be, you know, not necessarily hallucinations, but just having more worries, more things come your way. The almond tree blossoming. Again, just to take here is that could literally be the changing of your hair color, or all of it going away. This, I think, here is more about hair color. But this idea of when the almond tree blossoms, an almond tree is usually either blossoms pink, more times than not, it also blossoms white. And I think that's probably what's being applied here is this idea of getting older, hair color changing. The grasshopper drags itself along. The other way that is phrased is a burden. And I think that's probably the way that I would take it here, which is As you get older, things hurt more, things are happening more. Even a teeny tiny grasshopper, the small, you know, one of the smallest insects, that becomes a burden. And this idea of even that can be tough or weighing on you. Life is winding down. And then in verse 6, as again we don't have the most time, what I would take from this is silver cord snap, golden bowl, pitcher, wheel broken. Two things just to keep in mind. One, it's been suggested that a silver cord might literally be a connection from the spirit of man to man's physical body. And that this silver cord here, that is eventually going to be snapped. That eventually the spiritual and the physical, that connection together will be snapped. And then what will be the only thing that exists? The spiritual. Okay, I think that could be likely. The golden bowl is broken. That's been suggested that is literally your physical body, and that eventually that body is going to be broken and it's going to end, and only the spiritual will remain. The other thing I took away from this is bowl, pitcher, and cistern all have to do with what type of element? Water. Oftentimes, that our life when it's connected to an element, that life is connected to what element? Water. Okay? And so when you talk about that, you know, whether it's the fountain of youth, all of these different things, that oftentimes our life itself is connected to this idea of water. And so when all of these things are broken, then our life itself and that water, when it is dropped from the bowl, when it is when it's spilled, when it's no longer when it's shattered at the fountain, that simply that is our life ending. The dust returns to earth as it was, and the spirit returns to the God who gave it. And I love that because we got to keep in mind who gave us everything. At all points of this, he always brings it back home. God gave me my life. He gave me my spirit. And when I die, when I leave, it's going to go back to him. Now, you hope that it's going back to him, and we trust that it goes back to him, actually, you know, where we want to be, for lack of a better term. But the fact of the matter is that when our life here is over, that's it, and then the spirit returns to to God who gave it. This idea of dust, back in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in verse 20, all go to one place, all are from the dust, and to dust all return. And that's something that as we read that as a young person, again, I think maybe a little bit harder to understand. It may not be as pleasant. I don't think it's pleasant at any time that we read it when we understand that we were dust and to dust that we will return. But it should make us hopeful based on the different things that we read. Because at the end of the day, as I've mentioned several times in this class, we would do ourselves a disservice if we just take Ecclesiastes for verse 8 of chapter 12. Because you hear it a lot. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. But we know that's not it. That's not all that there is. Because we have a hope from God as long as we do all the other things that we've read in this book about always fearing God and keeping his commandments. Because what's that last section? You have a section heading in your Bible starting in verse 9. What does it say?
Fear God and keep his commandments.
There you go. Fear God and keep his commandments. We have a summary in verses 9 through 10, which I really like. It basically says, this is where it's a bit confusing about who is the author here, because then all of a sudden it switches, all right, and we go away from perhaps the first person into a third person, but it talks about what the preacher did, and again, I believe it's talking about Solomon. He taught the people knowledge. He weighed things. He studied. He arranged these proverbs with great care, and I think that's literally talking about the proverbs and the ones that we also read in the book of Ecclesiastes. I think this is also applicable to what we've talked about throughout the class, that this is probably later in life that all of these things are happening. He sought to find the words of the light and uprightly wrote the words of truth. He wrote all of this to steer the people and to educate the people and to educate himself. And I use steer for a very specific reason. In verse 11, he uses the term goad. A goad was what was used to guide oxen, or is used to guide oxen. It still can be. Okay. A goad, did not know this, had to look it up. It's an 8-foot long rod. Okay, you could say stick, but it's an 8-foot long rod. It's sharp at the end. It comes to a sharp point. And the idea behind this goad is to guide the oxen that we're plowing. And so why would it be used here? All of this is Solomon doing all of this to be able to guide the people. And these are words. It says the words of the wise are like goads. He's the wise here. And he's talking about he's doing all these different things to guide everyone, like nails firmly fixed. And what I would take away from that is that If a nail is driven deep within the wood, super deep, you're not going to be able to get it out. It is firmly fixed. And that's what the words of wisdom and what these words should do to us, have us firmly fixed. Because if it's just barely tapped in there, and you jiggle the wood a little bit, then it just rips straight out. And if we're not firmly rooted in this and in our lives as Christians, then we can be easily uprooted and we can easily have that nail just jerked right out. And so I believe that that's what these wise words should do for us. They are given by one shepherd. And then again, we get to verse 12, what we've said before, which is, beware of anything beyond these. In fact, if you remember, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 16 talked about the phrase too wise. And I said at the time, that's kind of funny, this concept of he keeps talking about be wise, be wise, be wise. And then all of a sudden he said, don't be too wise. And what I mentioned at the time, and I think is the case here, which is he's not saying don't acquire wisdom. What I think is the case here is of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. If we become so consumed with accumulating wisdom, especially wisdom outside of this book, and just I'm going to acquire knowledge, 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 but I'm not looking here for it, and I'm not understanding that I have to continue living my life and not just acquiring all these different wisdoms. And well, what could this word mean? And let's look at the 13 different languages of this word. You can become too consumed with that. And again, happy medium. Beware of anything beyond this, and beware that if you do all these studying, acquire all this different knowledge, especially if it's not of this book, that there is a weariness there, and there could be a not the best result at the end of it. And at the end of it, 13 and 14, the end of the matter, all has been heard. We don't stop with vanity. We stop with fear God, keep his commandments. That is the whole duty of man. That is what I'm to be doing, and every person in this class and every person in this world is supposed to be doing. Fear God and keeping his commandments, because at the end of the day, he brings it home. God will bring every deed into judgment. And I like the way that he says every secret thing. Again, this fear God, we go back to Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 7. For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity, but God is the one you must fear. And that's what we're to be doing. And verse 14 goes back to what we talked about in 11:9. Know that for all these things, God is going to bring us into judgment. And the fact that he phrases it every secret thing, I think that can apply to all ages. Because we have to continually remind ourselves there is nothing that is secretive when it comes to God. He sees all. He is aware of all. He already knew all that you were going to do and that I am going to do. And so let's understand that ultimately he's going to bring us into judgment. Any final comments there? I did run through that a little bit, but I think you really can take 12 as such a great summary chapter and really, I think, drives home the point of so many different layers of Ecclesiastes that we've studied. Any final thoughts there? We have the final bell. Thank you so much for studying this with me. I've really enjoyed studying Ecclesiastes. Looking forward to studying the book of Luke. I'm sure start with a summary and get into to chapter 1 next week with Willie, and looking forward to that class. And so thank you all for all your comments. I really appreciate it. And we'll have our worship service in about 15 minutes.